Hello and welcome to Intestinal Detox Repair and Recipes, Healing Strategies for Your Gut. I'm Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, and I'm very, very excited to be here to pull a lot of what we've talked about in other pieces of the program and help you to come up with some protocols that help you to finally heal your leaky gut, repair the damage, and have better digestion. So let's begin. Before we get too far along, I just want to remind you that this presentation is not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional. It's also not intended as medical advice. It's basically intended as a sharing of my knowledge to you and the research that I've done and the experience I've had clinically over the last couple of decades that I want to share with you. And if you have any health problems, if you're under the care of a health practitioner, if you're on any medication, make sure that you run this information by your practitioner before you make any drastic changes to your diet or lifestyle. Well, we talked about the 4-R process. We introduced that in the digestion introduction phase. In that phase, we talked about the remove phase, where we removed a lot of the foods and the allergens. And then in the upper GI, we talked about replacing stomach acid, replacing your enzymes. So in this section, we're going to talk more about remove in terms of removing pathogens like candida and funguses and molds and parasites. We're also going to talk about re-inoculating, putting back in those good friendly bacteria, and also repair so we can actually get the whole process cleaned up, fixed up, so you don't have the process anymore and your digestion works real well and you have a happy digestive tract. So we already talked about remove the foods that can hurt your gut, and we'll just review those real quickly. Gluten, dairy, sugar and sugar alcohol. Some sugar alcohols like sorbitol. For most people, xylitol and erythritol are okay, but you need to test your tolerance. You want to remove any refined carbohydrates. All allergens and caffeine. And allergens are those you know about and those that you suspect. And also, it's best to also remove the top 6 allergens at least for a time and before you retest them again. Alcohol, lectins. Certain foods have lectins that certain people are sensitive to. So you may want to see how you work with grains and beans and dairy. And an elimination diet, which we'll talk about on the next slide, you can actually remove lots of stuff and get down to a rear bare bones and then introduce some of these back and see how that goes for you. And trans fats absolutely have to be removed. They should be removed for good forever because they're so damaging, not just to your digestive tract, but to your cardiovascular system as well. And all systems in the body, your immune system too. And nightshades are for some people, not for everybody, but some people are sensitive to nightshades, and nightshades can create inflammation. So what are nightshades? Those would be your potatoes and tomatoes and eggplant and red bell pepper. Finally, processed meats, because they're full of preservatives and additives and all kinds of junk. So when we talk about remove in terms of an elimination diet, we talk about removing the common allergens like gluten, dairy, egg, peanuts, corn, and soy. And then any known allergens, any known or suspected allergens. So things that you would suspect might be foods that you eat frequently because they can get into the system via the leaky gut, and foods that you crave. Foods that you don't digest well, that you just feel bad after you eat. So we're going to remove the unfriendly gut bugs, the dysbiosis. One of those is Candida albicans, which is a single cell yeast-like fungus. And it's a single cell fungus. So funguses are not all single cell, but this yeast is a single cell fungus. And it's a normal inhabitant of your body. And what happens is it gets out of balance when you have the factors that we've already talked about that disrupt the normal flora. And in unhealthy conditions, like you've taken antibiotics, or you're drinking too much alcohol, or you're eating sugar, these yeasts transform and they can change their shape and develop a mycelia, which is a tail that can embed them into the tissues, and then they can grow out of control. So they go from being a normal, friendly flora to something that's out of control and damaging. And they also give off toxins that lead to inflammation and lots of symptoms. So another thing that we can have a problem with are parasites. Parasites are things like Giardia and Cryptosporidium and a whole host of others. And they take hold in your system. They can even be worms. And they get into your system and they feed off of your nutrition. And it's common that they come from infected waters. Sometimes people get them when they go camping and they drink out of streams. So there's a lot of ways to get parasites. It can also be viruses and bacteria that are living in your system. And they get in, again, through infected sources, through other people, and they grow out of control when your flora gets imbalanced. There's a questionnaire on your page to assess the likelihood of candida parasites and bacteria. It's called the dysbiosis questionnaire. So with dysbiosis, meaning bad life in your gut, dysbiosis is when your gut flora gets out of balance and pathogens start to grow. It's really this delicate balance. There are diet and lifestyle factors that can tip the scale in one direction or the other. You can either be living in a symbiotic relationship, which is everything's in balance, or you can create a dangerous relationship that contributes to disease, and the diet and lifestyle factors contribute. So let's take a look at the symptoms of dysbiosis, but from the standpoint of three different areas in the body that they affect. Remember, dysbiosis, leaky gut, gluten intolerance, all of these syndromes of the intestinal tract, they don't just manifest in intestinal symptoms. They manifest in symptoms throughout the body. So there's three areas, this triangle of symptomatology that we get. One is digestive system. Two is systemic throughout the body. And three is in your central nervous system. So let's take a look at some of the symptoms in each of these areas, just so you're familiar with how this could be manifesting, so you have an understanding of where some of your symptoms might be coming from. So the digestive system, it's the typical stuff that we've been talking about all along, the stuff that you think about when you feel, when you think about digestive problems, bloating and gas, diarrhea, constipation, abdominal pain, burning in your esophagus, we talked about that before, called reflux, itching and burning in your anus, especially symptomatic of parasites, and burping. So in terms of systemic symptoms, headaches, muscle pains, that could be anywhere throughout your body. You might have been diagnosed with fibromyalgia, could be dysbiosis, fatigue, allergy symptoms, you know, sneezing, runny nose, asthma, skin stuff. You can have male and female disorders, hormone imbalances, lack of libido, PMS, those sorts of things. And then when we look at from the central nervous system perspective, we can have depression, memory loss, focusing problems like ADHD in either children or adults, balance problems, it's equilibrium problems, kind of the drunken sailor syndrome. Could be related to irritation from the dysbiosis of your cerebellum. And finally, anxiety. So let's look at a few secrets for clearing out candidiasis and also clearing out some of the other gut bugs. So you want to stop eating anything that creates sugar in your system. These critters love sugar, including refined carbs like white flour, white rice, etc., alcohol, and even fruit juice. So fruit juice may seem friendly, but, and even whole fruits and dried fruits. So there's a lot of things that create sugar in your system. You want to take something that actually kills the yeast. So something like grapefruit seed extract or oregano or garlic, and we'll give you a list of those in a little bit. You want to take probiotics to reseed the good, friendly bacteria in your gut. You know, things like we talked about kefir and cultured vegetables and Rejuvelac, things like that. And nutrients that can heal the lining of your gut, since in the candida, the mycelia can damage the lining, and also the toxins from the candidiasis or the other gut bugs can actually damage the lining. So let's look at some of these antimicrobial herbs. We've got grapefruit seed extract, oregano, turmeric, thyme, propolis, fennel, And thyme is especially good for viruses. Oregano is good for just about everything. Turmeric is a potent antibacterial, antimicrobial, and anti-inflammatory. You've got things like pumpkin seeds, which are great for parasites, and virgin coconut oil, which contains MCTs, medium-chain triglycerides, which are great for getting rid of candida, and also things like viruses. It also has lauric acid, which is great for that. And it also has short-chain fatty acids, which are really good for rebuilding the intestinal lining. Pomegranate juice has a chemical in there that's a great antimicrobial, as well as rosemary, especially good for viruses. Golden seal, especially good for bacteria, but also for viruses and candida, and especially good in the intestinal tract. Not so good in the respiratory tract, but especially good there. And you could take up 6 cloves of raw garlic a day and get rid of just about anything that's growing in your gut or throughout your body. You can see that some of these foods can be combined in all sorts of fun ways. You can make Italian food with the rosemary and garlic and thyme and oregano, and you can make a really nice antimicrobial soup. You can mix these things in, you know, your pumpkin seeds and coconut oil and make salad dressings and things. So there's so many ways that you can get these antimicrobial herbs. It doesn't have to be just as a supplement. We want to replace those missing enzymes and nutrients, and we've talked about this a little bit before, and I just want to reiterate how important it is to eat the raw and living foods that contain enzymes that replenish. You want to take digestive enzymes whenever you eat cooked foods or complex raw foods, just because it's drawing on your pancreas to create those enzymes, and it's really helpful, especially when your system is getting stressed, and you can add those back in. Greens and fresh fruits and vegetables, they're nutrient dense, so they replenish your nutrients really well. And the green juices and sea vegetables and microalgae like chlorella and spirulina are the most nutrient dense of all. And nutritive herbs and supplements can be added to the food regimes to really give you that extra boost when you need it. Let's talk about re-inoculate. Re-inoculate means to put back the good bacteria that should be growing in your gut. And you can do that by taking probiotic supplements. There's all sorts, and there's all sorts of potencies. I like to see a really high dose when we're trying to re-inoculate, at least for the first month, like in the 100 billion organism or more range. And then maintenance-wise, maybe in the 30 billion organisms a day, or just maintaining with food. So some of those normal flora could be lactobacillus, bifidus, saccharomyces, L-sporagenes, which is lactobacillus sporagenes. It's a spore form of lactobacillus, which is really, really resilient and is very good for surviving the stomach acid and really helping to implant the other strains. And then you can get mixed strains. There's all sorts of them. And you want to feed the normal flora with prebiotics. And these are fructooligosaccharides, which is often included in some of the probiotic formulas, and inulin, which is a polysaccharide found in things like Jerusalem artichoke and other foods, which we'll show you in a bit. So is your gut flora making you fat? What kind of a question is that? Well, it turns out that research has shown that certain gut flora make you more prone to being obese, and others make you more prone to being thin. And you can control this by taking the good bacteria and also through your diet. So there's these guys called the Firmicutes, and they are the fat bugs. They're the ones that make you fat. And then there's Bacteroidetes, and they're the skinny bugs. You get them by restoring your good bacteria. So when you get out of balance in your gut, it's just not a matter of having gas and bloating and malabsorption, but they can also be contributing to your weight problem. How's that? The Firmicutes extract more calories from food than the Bacteroidetes, and they play a role in fat storage. So if you have more of these than the other, then you're going to have more of a problem towards obesity. There's a test that a company called Metametrics does. It's the Metametrics 2100 Comprehensive Stool Analysis. And they do something called the Adiposity Index. And that's what it looks like. They'll give you the numbers of the Firmicutes and the Bacteroidetes. And you want to have more of the Bacteroidetes. This is real borderline You want to be less than 80 on the firmicutase and more than 20 on the bacterioidetase. Obviously, if your ratios are really shifted, like really low on the firmicutase and high on the others, then you're going to have a much better chance of having less body fat. So probiotics help to re-inoculate your gut. And this is a picture of one of my favorite brands, but Rejuvenative Foods. They're from Santa Cruz, California. They make a really nice line, all different flavors of raw sauerkrauts. Now, sauerkraut can be made on your own or you can purchase it. Kimchi is a type of sauerkraut, pretty much. It's a fermented vegetables, but it's usually they're slightly bigger chunks, where sauerkraut is usually shredded. Coconut kefir is another one where it's very basically coconut water that's been inoculated with a kefir culture, and you can make it or you can buy it. There's a brand called Inner Echo. It's a very, very potent probiotic supplement, and it's a coconut kefir basically. And the bottle is about 16 ounces and contains 3 trillion organisms. It's a 30-day supply at 100 billion organisms per day. So it's really potent, and we use it a lot when we're trying to do massive implants, when somebody's had a big antibiotic use or have been taking birth control pills or steroids or other things that throw things off, or coming off of a high-sugar diet. You can make seed yogurt. You can make kombucha. You can make Rejuvelac. Kombucha is a fermented mushroom beverage, whereas Rejuvelac is a fermented grain beverage. The thing with Rejuvelac is usually made with wheat berries, so you have to be careful that you don't get any of those wheat berries into it or blend it with the berries if you're gluten sensitive. So I usually have people stay away from the Rejuvelac when they're gluten sensitive. And miso, which is a fermented soybean paste, but also can be made with chickpea if you're allergic to soybean. And finally, you can do supplements. You can take a lactobacillus or bifidus or a mixed strain supplement. So food sources of prebiotics include Jerusalem artichoke, which is pictured here, which you can slice and put in salads or grate and put in salads or blend into drinks, into smoothies or soups. And they're really good. They're crunchy. They're quite tasty. In addition, you've got dandelion, the dandelion greens. They're loaded with major nutrition. Wild yam, which is a little bit harder to get. It's not the commercial yam. It's a special kind of yam that we don't get very often here in the States. Jerusalem artichokes, as I said. Chicory, which is a green vegetable. It's a really bitter one, so it's really good for stimulating stomach acid and gallbladder movement. It's a good cholagogue, etc. So it's a really good one to include. Jicama. Jicama is a really awesome, it looks like a big potato, very ugly from the outside, but it's white and really crunchy and crispy on the inside. Burdock is a root. It's a common root that you can find in most either gourmet grocers or health food stores. And you can chop it up and put it in salads. You can cut it into matchbook size pieces and mix it with carrots and saute it in a bit of sesame oil. That's a common macrobiotic treat. Burdock's really good for your gut as well as for your liver. It's really supportive for your liver. And things like onion and garlic are really good sources of prebiotic. Now, they don't have as much as some of these others, and you don't tend to eat as much onion and garlic, but they are definitely sources. And there's a South American root called the yacan, which has a good source of prebiotic, and it's sweet, and it's oftentimes sold as a powder and dehydrated and sold as a powder that you can add to foods. So how do you repair your digestive lining? Well, there's a number of nutrients that are really good for repairing your digestive lining. The mucilaginous herbs and foods, and we have lists of those which we'll share. Therapeutic foods, gut healing supplements, anti-inflammatory herbs and foods, gut healing meal replacements, and bitters. And also carminatives, which are things that dispel gas. So we're going to look at each of these in turn. So you've got your demulcent herbs and foods, and what do? They soothe the GI tract. They rebuild your mucus layer in your GI tract. They're anti-inflammatory. They lubricate your digestive tract, so it helps things move through you at a better pace. They nourish your body fluids and tissues. They retain a lot of fluid, and they actually help to nourish your body tissues. So who are some of the players in the demulcent game? We've already talked about most of them, chia seeds and flax seeds and licorice and marshmallow and slippery elm. And I use Marshall and Slippery Elm a lot in beverages to soothe the gut. Comfrey I don't use quite as much because it's got a lot of pyrrolizidine alkaloids, which can be harmful to the liver if you use too much. So if I do Comfrey, it's in resistant cases where the others aren't working, and I'll just use it for a short period of time, like a few weeks to a month. Irish Moss, is a you can use it in foods and in making really creamy desserts and in creams, and there's all sorts of ways to do it. You can even make beverages out of it. Some of your herbs like cinnamon and chamomile and fenugreek are all really good choices for demulcents. And all of these can be combined or used individually. Jujube dates are less sweet than regular dates, so they don't tend to disrupt the normal gut flora like dates would, but they're really very demulcent. Aloe vera, which you can get from the inner part of your aloe vera plants. You can buy the big aloe vera leaves in most grocers, or Mexican grocers have them a lot because it tends to be a popular food there. And you can also get them in health food stores periodically. You can also have your own plants, and you can get a gel, you know, in a bottle. And plantain, which grows in your backyard probably, and you can stick some of those leaves in your smoothies. You can also get it as a supplement. Calendula, nice. You can get it as a dried herb, or you can grow it. And yarrow grows in lots of people's yards. Very healing and soothing. So then there's the therapeutic foods. And they fall into three categories. Those that are high in nitric oxide, those that are high in N-acetylcysteine, and those that are high in arabinogalactans. And these are three categories of chemical constituents that are very soothing and healing for your GI tract. So we'll just run through some of these foods. You've got arugula, which has 100 times more nitric oxide than any other food. But other good sources are also spinach, beets, hawthorn berry. And hawthorn berry is not your common, you know, food you find at the grocery store, but you may find some hawthorn berry extract or berries that you can make into a tea. And you can do those like from place like Mountain Rose Herbs or Frontier Herbs and purchase some of those dry. And then the dark green leafies, all your dark green leafies are really super, super for that. In terms of N-acetylcysteine, there's common foods like bell peppers and garlic and onions and broccoli and Brussels sprouts. And then on the arabinogalactans, those are high in tomatoes and carrots and radishes and echinacea and reishi mushroom. And that's a picture of reishi mushroom. Reishi is an awesome, awesome, very therapeutic food. So we've got some gut healing supplements, and this list is also on the webpage where you can download it and print it out. And you don't have to take all of these. You can pick a subset of these, and you can start with some, and then you can move on to others. You don't have to do all of them at the same time, but it is nice to rotate them through. When you look at the results of, say, your nutrient imbalance test, the nutrient assessments that you did, the vitamin or mineral assessments, if you haven't done them, then I'd recommend that you go do them, because any of the nutrients that show up as being imbalanced, make sure that those are the ones that you're taking to help heal your gut. But some of those are, I'll just read them through and you can study them more and choose them from the website. Glutamine, 2,500 milligrams twice a day. Quercetin, 500 milligrams twice a day. NAC, also known as N-acetylcysteine, 500 to 1,000 milligrams per day. Vitamin A, 20,000 to 25,000 IUs per day. And you don't want to do that for very long because it can be cause overload and overstorage in your liver. But vitamin B1, 150 milligrams three times a day is awesome at plumping up and restoring that mucous membrane and also those little villi, the microvilli in your small intestine. Zinc in the range of 50 to 80 milligrams per day. Again, you're going to adjust that based on your needs. But zinc is really important for healing the tissue and for creating stomach acid. Arabinogalactans are really good at restoring normal mucosa and normal gut flora. 3 grams three times a day. And you can use the foods that we just showed you, but you can also get a supplement of arabinogalactans in powder form. Nitric oxide, there's several nitric oxide promoting supplements, and I would just go by the dosages that are listed on those supplements because they vary from one to the next. Vitamin E in the range of 400 IUs per day, and make sure that's in the mixed tocopherols, not just alpha or gamma, just the mixed tocopherols the tocopherols with tocotrienes. And then DHEA, if you've done an adrenal test and it shows you're low, if you've done a blood test and it shows you're low, DHEA can be instrumental at rehealing your gut. But if you haven't been determined to be low, then I wouldn't be taking it. And finally, vitamin C at 1,000 milligrams three times a day or to your bowel tolerance. And you have a handout that teaches you how to do bowel tolerance on vitamin C. So let's take a look at some of the anti-inflammatory herbs, foods, and nutrients. These are very common foods that you can easily include in your smoothies, in your soups, making specific nut milks and tonics, and in your meals. Very easy to get these, and I recommend that you add bunches of these every day. Just add as many of them as you like. If you have some you don't like, throw them away. You don't have to have things you don't like. These are things that you can include on a regular basis, and a couple of them are actually supplements. So let me just read them, and you also have lists of these on your site. But for those of you who are listening on the audio only, I'm going to read them out loud. We've got ginger and turmeric and licorice. We've got chia seeds, flax seeds, and hemp seeds. Deep ocean fish, if you're not vegetarian and if you're okay with eating fish. Algae and sea greens. Purslane, which is a wild edible. Vitamin C. Omega-3 fats in general, omega-3 supplement, bromelain and other proteolytic enzymes. Bromelain comes from pineapple. You've got pepaine that comes from papaya. And also capsaicin-containing foods. And you may be surprised that capsaicin-containing foods, which are the peppers, which are hot foods, would be anti-inflammatory. They are very much so. The problem is if you've got inflamed tissue, oftentimes it's very hard to take those because they can irritate inflamed tissue. So you can often take them in ways that are protective, like mixed with demulcents. Others are cinnamon and rosemary and basil and cardamom and chives and cilantro and cloves and garlic and parsley and boswellia and quercetin. And boswellia and quercetin can be found in like onions, and also you can get supplements with those in. So let's talk briefly about the carminative herbs and what they do. They reduce gas and bloating. Nice. They enhance digestive secretions. Also nice. They help to tone your digestive tract so that peristalsis works better. They reduce smooth muscle spasms, and they increase the peristalsis. So the ones that are included here, they're all very yummy, and they can make really nice dips and smoothies and soups and salad dressings, and can be included easily on a regular basis. Dill and fennel and ginger and caraway and cinnamon and turmeric and clove and cardamom and chamomile and oregano, rosemary and thyme. And you can, if you have gas, if you start to feel gas and bloating, you can diminish it by making a cup of a fennel tea or juicing some dill with some greens. And there's all kinds of ways that you can incorporate these to help get the results that you're looking for. Gut healing meal replacements. These are foods that can be added while you're doing your gut cleansing, when you're doing your liquid only. They can be used during a leaky gut repair protocol to help provide easy to absorb protein and amino acids that your body can then use to rebuild and heal. I've listed some that are commercial, what they're called medical foods. They are not raw foods. They are not whole foods. There's synthetic vitamins in there, but they're like one-stop shopping. They've got the protein powder along with the anti-inflammatory herbs, and those would be things like MediClear, Ultra Clear Sustain, and Ultra Inflamax. Another way you could do it is to get something like Warrior Food or Sun Warrior. You can add Earth, which is a supplement also from Health Force Nutrition, which is a whole food supplement, has a lot of good healing, gut healing herbs in there. You can combine that with something like Glutamed RX, which has some of those nutrients that are recommended for a gut healing phase. There's some very specific gut healing, and you can use it for about a 30-day period to facilitate gut healing. So how do you optimize your digestion? You eat in a calm, relaxed state. You do deep breathing and appreciation. You can start the day with a cleansing beverage, warm or room temperature water, mixed with some juice of a fresh lemon, plus some lemon oil, a little bit of cayenne if you tolerate it, and also mint oil. drink a glass of lukewarm water a half an hour before your meal. That kind of calms and warms up your digestive tract, makes it easier for you to digest. Taking bitters 5 minutes before the meal or up to 15 minutes before the meal. And we talked about that in the upper GI section. Chew your food thoroughly, really important. Eat slowly and focus on your meal. Add digestive enzymes whenever you're eating cooked food or raw meals that are complex. You can follow food combining or food sequencing if you have weakened digestion. And that means not combining foods that don't really combine well, like fats and sugars and protein and starches. Or you could sequence those foods rather than not combine them at all. So you do them alternate, you sequence them in a meal, like one and then the other and then the other. You can add liver and gallbladder support, specific herbs and nutrients that help support the liver. And we talked about a bunch of those. You can heal your inflammation and leaky gut, which we've been talking about all along. You can take probiotics, which we've talked about a lot. Eliminate the pathogens by replenishing the good guys. You can get rid of the allergens. And the main culprit is often gluten and casein. Finally, colon cleansing, which we'll talk a lot more about. So what are your action steps? One, determine if you're likely to have a dysbiosis problem by taking the Candida quiz. You can also take the leaky gut quiz. Two, follow an antimicrobial protocol before or during the repair phase if your score is high on the dysbiosis questionnaire. And that would be the diet for healing leaky gut plus Health Force Nutritional SCRAM, which is an antimicrobial nutritional formulation. They have an 18-day protocol for that. Allergy Research has one called Tricycline, which has berberine and artemisia in it. You can get a combination of antimicrobial herbs, and we've listed a bunch of them for you. You can do a 7-day intestinal cleanse and rebuild, followed by, that leads to a total of 30 days on your repair nutrients. So let's look at that intestinal repair and rebuilding. It's a jump start. The first 7 days is a jump start. For the first 2 days or longer, you're going to be doing liquid only, using lots of green drinks. You'll take your supplements 3 times a day. We'll tell you what those are in a bit. And then optionally, you can use a clean protein powder source to help provide that extra oomph for healing your gut. The next 5 days, you can do 2 to 3 green drinks a day. Replace 1 or 2 meals. Or if you want to, you can continue to replace all 3 meals. You're going to have 1 meal that's veggies, raw or lightly steamed, and optionally with soaked nuts or seeds. You can also optionally add a little bit of whole non-gluten grain, assuming that you don't have a major candida or growth or blood sugar imbalance. You could add some legumes to that, assuming your body tolerates them well. Or you can, if you're not vegetarian and you prefer to include animal products, a very small amount, just a little bit of some sort of a free-range organic meat or deep-sea ocean fish. Take supplements 2 times a day now and continue those supplements for a month. So you're doing the supplements 3 times a day for the first 2 days, and then the rest of the month you're going to do them 2 times a day. What are some of the liquids that you can have during the liquid-only phase? Water, chia beverage, green juice, green smoothie, green soup, green powder, protein powder, Health Force Nutritionals herbs can be added to any of those, slippery elm drinks, aloe vera, and you can include some arugula leaves in your green drink for extra special repair. So let's look at the supplements that you're going to do for the 7-day jumpstart and leading into that total 30 days. NAC and acetylcysteine, 600 milligrams, L-glutamine, 3,500 milligrams, arabinogalactan, 2,000 milligrams, DGL licorice, 500 milligrams, and aloe leaf extract, 100 milligrams. Remember, you're going to take these 3 times a day during the first 2 days, and then 2 times a day for the next rest of the 30 days. And there's a supplement called Glutamed RX by Numedica that has all of these except the NAC. So you could actually take just one supplement. You take the Glutamed in powder form, and then you can take the NAC separately, and you do all of that for 30 days. And then if you've got some extra care needed in your gut, like you've got Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, any kind of inflammatory bowel disease or a long-standing irritable bowel disease, you can take Cialis, which is taken 1 to 3 capsules after each meal. And Cialis actually contains mucin, which helps your body to reproduce its mucous membrane. It really helps healing and protection. You can do that for the 30 days as well. The gut-friendly foods to include daily would be at least 32 ounces of green smoothie, some sea vegetables, which can be blended into your green smoothies, same with chlorella, probiotic-containing foods like, you know, sauerkraut, kimchi, and all the rest that we named already, lots and lots of greens. You can eat them, you can drink them, you can blend them, you could sprout them. Make sure you have brassicas, or aka cruciferous vegetables, because those are especially healing and detoxifying. And a caution, especially if you've got candida or gut overgrowth, is that fruit should be eaten as part of a green smoothie or along with a green leafy lettuce or celery so that you don't get the sudden rises in blood sugar that has the potential for feeding the yeast. Finally, take 1 or 2 enzymes with all your meals, except if you're just doing juice or shake, unless you find that you really do benefit and feel better when you take enzymes, even with juice or shakes. A couple of recipes. These are also listed in a recipe guide on your site. So I won't go through these, but there's a healing broth recipe, which is some steamed vegetables blended up and seasoned. There's a gut healing porridge, which is a basis of chia seed and psyllium. Lots of soluble fiber to help heal your gut. And finally, I'm going to give you just a little rundown, just as a little summary of which herbs and foods are good for which parts of your gut. So licorice and slippery elm, we've talked about for both stomach and intestinal healing. Probiotics work in the large and small intestine mainly. Fiber works throughout your whole digestive tract. Cabbage juice mainly works in your stomach to heal your stomach. Chia and flax work in your small and large intestine because they are really good soluble fiber. Milk thistle works on your gallbladder and liver. Colon is really, to heal your colon and get good stuff in your colon, you really need fiber, water, short-chain fatty acids, and all this comes from having good amounts of friendly bacteria. When you get those by taking probiotics, eating cultured foods, eating lots of fiber, and eating lots of green leafy vegetables. A talk about the digestive tract and healing leaky gut would not be complete without talking about stress, because stress affects your gut. We know this from our tales of ulcers being caused by stress and GI problems being caused by stress, but physiologically it actually does. There's a substance called secretory IgA, which we showed you in the picture, that lines your digestive tract. It's your immune system in your gut. And secretory IgA gets released when you go into a state of appreciation. And this is a study from the Institute of Heart Math, which showed that your secretory IgA went way up after just 5 minutes of showing care. And it stayed elevated for up to 8 hours afterwards. Whereas when you got angry, your secretory IgA dropped dramatically, and it took up to 8 hours for it to come back, not even up to where it started out. So quite interesting. So use your appreciation and practice the pre-meal ritual that we're going to share again. So this is a pre-meal ritual. You should do it before each meal to optimize your digestion and absorption. Stop whatever you're doing. Stop. Pay attention to what you're about to do, which is eat. Look at your food. Take in the colors. Take in the smells. And really pay attention to what's on your plate. Tune into your heart. Get yourself into that state where you can fully breathe and deeply breathe and feel sincere appreciation. You need to do this every time you put food into your body, not sometimes. And this concludes the presentation on small intestine detox and repair. So tune into your action items, go back to the webpage, study the action items, print them out, and get going.